Okay, today is Daf Ayin Tes. We're at Ayin Ches and Beis. We're in the two dot. Tanur Rabbanan, Hamotzi Shtar Chov. Tanur Rabbanan. Hamotzi Shtar Chov. If somebody carries out a Shtar Chov, what's a Shtar Chov? It's a Shtar document that says, Reuven owes Shimon money, right? So, Ad Shelo Paro, if it's not paid back yet, and this document actually means something, chayev, you're chayev. Mi sheparo, once it's paid back, potter than your potter. It's not worth anything. It's paid back. The loan's paid back. Rav Yehuda Omer, Rav Yehuda says, af mi sheparo, chayev. Even if you paid it back already, you're still chayev. You're still not allowed to carry it out. Why? Because you need it. Okay? Now, my benayhu, what's going on here? Because you can use a piece of paper for a bottle stopper, other things like that. So why does it matter if it's paid back or not? What changes? And what's the machlokas about? There are four explanations explaining this machlokas. Okay? Number one, Amar of Yosef. Aser lishos shtar perua ikar benayhu. The machlokas is, are you allowed to hold on to a document that's already been paid off? Says the Tanakhama, Rabbanan Savri, that's the Tanakhama, Aser Lishos Shtar Perua. You're not allowed to hold on to a document that's already paid off. Why not? Because we're afraid you're going to forget that it was paid off and you're going to collect on it again. So therefore, once it's paid off, you're no longer allowed to keep it. No, they didn't used to do it that way. So, since you're not allowed to hold on to such a document, document's considered not worth anything. If it's considered not worth anything, there's no issue of carrying. Okay? That's the logic. Right? Asks the Rishash asks, well, you're able to erase. You could erase it. You could erase it, and it's a blank piece of paper. Yes, but it's Shabbos right now. It's not. She can't erase on Shabbos. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Savar.
So, one more question. Something that's not valuable, you can carry?
What?
Dead skunk. There's a shear.
There's a shear for carrying everything, so it's not doesn't rise to the shear because it's not worth anything. We said the basic shear for carrying is chashivus. Maybe you're not carrying it. You're not chayav carrying a dead skunk. You might not be. So according to the Tanakhama, you would not be chayav for carrying this document. Why? Because it is us to have it. It's not worth anything. Rabbi Yehuda holds no. You're allowed to carry a mutter leproa shtar chov. Where am I? Read this over. Mutter lishos shtar perua. You're allowed to hold on to a paid off loan document. What's it good for? You can use it for a bottle stopper. You're allowed to do that. Therefore, that's chashivas. Therefore, you chayav on Shabbos. That's answer number one. Abaya Amar. Abaya says no. The kuliyama aser lishos shtar perua. Everybody holds. You're not allowed to hold on to a paid off document. You're not allowed to. The chashash is you'll collect on it again. You'll forget, whatever. Not even that you're pulling the fast one. You might forgot. V'hacha b'mode b'shtar shekasvo shetzarech l'kaimo k'mifugi. The machlokes is, this is a running machlokes, where the love, the borrower, says, yes, that's my loan doc. I owe that money. 100%. There's no forgery. It's all legitimate. However, I paid it off. Paid it off. Yes, it was true, and I paid it off. So there's a machlokas about whether or not what happens when such a document gets presented, right? So some hold now that the malve wants his money, and the love admitted it's a valid shtar. Just I paid it off. The malve now has to go prove it's not true. Like the burden's on him now. The burden's on him now to go find Aiden and get the money back, right? A minute. Now what's the logic behind that? The logic behind it is Hapesha Aser Hu Hapesha Hitter. Right? The Lova admits that's a valid document. It's not a forgery at all. 100%. I borrowed that money, but I paid it back. Others hold, then why does he have the document? What's he doing with it if he paid it back? He should have taken it away from him. Why does he still have it? Therefore, the Pasha Arthur is undermined. And therefore, the Malva doesn't have to do anything. The Malva says, give me the money. But if it, why do I have it if you paid it back? Right? So it's undermined, and the Malva doesn't have to go to that search. That is burden. No, no way. The Lovina has to go. I want to prove you paid it. You prove that. Malva doesn't have to prove it. Let the Lovina go prove it. So that's a Machlokes. Okay, it's a Machlokes. Therefore, back to the Gemara. Tanakama Savar. Moda Bishtar Shekosvo Tzarech Lekaimo. The Malva has to go now, and the Lovina admitted that it was valid. He admitted it was honest. He admitted it was legal, but he says he paid it back. Whose burden now is it on? The Malva. Therefore, as long as the Malva doesn't go find anybody, the document's not worth anything. Okay? Therefore, carry on Shabbos, your pater. Rabbi Huda Savar, Moda Bishtar Shekotso, Ain't Tarech Lekaimo. No! The Malva doesn't have to go search for Edom now. The Lova has to do that. Therefore, on its face, this document is chashuv, and therefore if you carry your chayev.
He can collect with it.
He can collect with it, therefore it's chayev, if you carry it. Then umai, what does it mean? Adjilo paro, umisha paro. Then what does it mean when it says, until you paid it back and you paid it back? What that means is what your titles are. Adjo yomai lova parati, right? Velo parati. It means that the Lova says, yes, it's valid and I paid it. Same exact story. Yes, it's valid and I paid it back. So according to the Tanakhama, the Lovet now is off the hook. Therefore, on its face, the document's not worth anything. Unless the Malva goes now and finds Edom to otherwise. Therefore, you putter. And the Rehudah would say you chayev. Answer number three. Rava Amar. Rava says, the Kuli Alma Moda Bishtar Shekasva Shark Lekaimo. Everybody holds that. Everybody holds that. Okay, v'hacha, and over here, b'kosvin shover kamiflagi. The machlokes is, do you have to write a receipt? Is there a necessary to write a receipt? Tanakama savar, kosvin shover. Tanakama holds that the malve can force the lender to write a receipt.
The lova can force the malve.
No, the malve can force the lova. In other words, whose burden is it to hold on to the receipt? So the Malva, I don't want extra documents about it. You have extra documents. You're the one who borrowed the money. You write up so-and-so, I owed so-and-so and I paid it off, and let the Malva sign it.
That's for his
benefit. What? I know, but he doesn't want to be bothered with having the document, this receipt, then he'll lose it.
He'd rather not lose it than pay it twice.
What?
He goes to court, how's he going to prove that he paid it?
Well, the other way is to rip up the loan document. I don't know why they don't do that.
Maybe he only paid partially.
All right, so no, we're not talking about that. So when it's fully paid, there's a machlokas about it. You got to learn Bab Metzi again. The Malva can tell the Lovet, you write a receipt, I'll sign it, and you keep that receipt forever. If you don't keep that receipt, this shtar can be used against you again. Therefore, if you do have to write a receipt, the shtar is worthless, because I have a receipt. If the shtar is worthless, you put it for carrying it. You hear that? Why exactly does this happen? I don't know. I didn't learn the whole sugya in Bava Metzia to familiarize like why this is the case.
You know, that would be the same thing if you had euros in your pocket in America and you can't use it for anything. Why can't you just walk around with them?
In the Khanami, you might not.
It has value. Not here it doesn't.
Not here.
Potential value has that value.
Right.
So it's this loan document.
No, it really doesn't because you really paid it off. Well, the thing is, the guy lost. You go to the law. Where's the receipt? I lost it. All right, great. I can collect again.
Yeah.
Right. So since
you have potential.
Right.
So you take a flyer on the street for a public school event. You walk in that jump. So you have to put it in the garbage 100 meters away. It's worthless to you. Just
midaraisa, you might not be chayav for that. Right.
No meaning.
Exactly. Rabbi Yehuda Savar in Kosvin Shover. No, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't have to write a receipt. If you don't have to write a receipt. The original thing still has value, and therefore you chayev if you carry it. That's answer number three. Number four, Rav Ashi Amar. According to the Tanakhama, you potter because it has no value. It's only according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Lova wants the loan document to stay around. Why? Then they should tzarech laharos el balchov sheni. He wants to show it to other people he wants to borrow money from. No, but exactly. The Amale, look at this. Chazi gavra b'parana. I'm a guy who pays my debts. I borrowed from him. I borrowed from Reuven. I paid it back. I borrowed from Shimon. So he wants them around. Therefore, they have value. Different kind of value. But they have value. Therefore, they have value. Therefore, you carry Shabbat Yechayim.
If the Lova
carries
it, the Malva.
The Lova. What does the Malva care?
That's it. The Malva has it. He wouldn't be carrying. Right. Document,
exactly. 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 The Lova cares very much. Malva couldn't care less. Okay?
Item, person A, person D, when one
correct. Was five, one correct. That's the way it appears. I don't know. I don't know about that. That's the way it appears. That's the way it appears. What's the halakha levaisa? I don't know. Okay, next. Or kedelasos, we said the leather. Leather is the amount to make a small, make a kameya, right? To wrap a kameya in leather. So Boimine Rava Meir of Nachman. Hamotzi or Bekama. How much or do you have to carry out? So Amalei Kididnan. There's a Mishnah that says that. What was the question exactly? Right? The question was, is already worked on or Kedelasos Kimeya? The amount is, right? The Mishnah said that already. So some say this question Rava knew. He asked it to get the juices going with the following questions. Question number two. Hama abdo bekama. What if it already worked on the hide? Does that change anything? Amale loshna, it doesn't change anything. Now, next question. Le abdo. I'm going to work on it. My intention is, I'm going to tan this hide. But I didn't do it yet. Bekama. Now what's the shear? Amale loshna, it's still no different.
What was it, the original case that it wasn't worked yet?
No, the first case was it was already hot worked on. The second case was it wasn't worked on, right? Is that true? Yeah. Or the second case might have been you worked on it not with different salts, whatever. Third case, I didn't work on it yet, but I'm going to. Okay? It's all the same shear. It's umanat timra. How do you know that? Kiditnan, like we learned, hamalabain, if you clean, hamanapate, or you comb out the threads, the wool, vatsoveh, or you dye it, vatoveh, or you spin it, shi'uro kamoli rachav hasit kafel. The shear of the threads have to be double the size of a sit. A sit is the size, the distance between your front finger and your middle finger. When you make a V between your two fingers, it's a distance, a space. The different, double that size. Double that. Then we also learned the oreg beis chutin, the shear for sewing, for weaving, is shi'uro kamoli rochav hasit kafel. Again, the same shear. So what do you see? That thread that you didn't use, that you plan on using, all I did was whiten it, all I did was clean it, but I didn't use it yet, has the same shear to actually weaving, the same shear. So too, carrying out unworked hide and carrying out worked on hide has the same shear. Same thing. Just like the thread is the same shear, whether I worked on it, whether I didn't work, it's all the same shear. So two by hide, the same thing. That makes sense. Right? Makes sense. Same thing. We don't reduce the shear if it's still not worked on. We don't do that. It's the same shear. Alma, what do you see? Kivendul tevia, when you weave kashiura, right? If it's going to be used for that. Kitavu hachirami, kivendul abdo kashiur kibuvan. So unworked on hide has the same shear for carrying as worked on hide. Same thing. It's the exact same thing. So Gemara says, wait a minute. Vishalo la'avdo. Oh, now next question. Vishalo la'avdo. I have hide that I'm never going to work on. Never going to. Bekama. What's the shear for that? Amalei, again, lo shna. There's no difference. It's the same shear. So if a lo shani bein mu'ubad l'she'ena mu'ubad, there's no shear now? There's no difference? There's no difference? Eish vei, we have a din like this. Hamotzi samanim, if somebody carries out herbs, different spices, whatever, shiruyin, that are soaked, k'dei l'tzvo behen dugma l'ira, to dye a sample. L'ira is something with the loom. What exactly? I don't know. What are they? How do they translate that? The weaver's bobbin. Something with the loom. That's what I said. So if you carry out soaked spices, soaked herbs to make a dye. The ilu. So the shear is whatever. The shear is to make for a sample for something in the loom. The ilu. But if they're not soaked. Meaning, they're not necessarily going to be used for a dye. Tnan, now we learn like this. Klipe egozim, the shell, the peel of an egoz, of a nut. Klipe rimonim, or the peel of a pomegranate. Satis, upua. Satis and pua are two non-edible herbs that they use for dye. All these things. Kedei l'tzvo behen beged katan l'fi tzvacha. The shear is to dye a small thing for the woman's hairnet, right? What do you see from here? That's a bigger shear. That's bigger than the thing for than the sample for the loom. So what do you see? They're not the same shear. Not the same shear at all. Okay.
You mean processed and unprocessed?
Exactly. So unprocessed hide and processed hide should not have the same shear. So the Gemara answers, no, it's different over there. You know why? Because ha'it bar Allah, we learned over there, Amar of Nachman, Amar Rabbah bar Avua, l'fi she'ein adam tarech l'shar saman l'tzvo behen dugma l'ira. Nobody's gonna bother to make a dyes for such a tiny thing to make a sample for the loom. It's such a small thing. Nobody's gonna bother doing that. Therefore, when it's not yet. It doesn't have the chashivas. It just simply doesn't have the chashivas yet. Therefore, the shear is different. However, when it comes to the hide, there's no difference. That's the Gemara's answer. The answer is, we're going to have the same question again, the same answer again. When it comes to other things, the shear goes by chashivas. Everything goes by chashivas. Here, people will be busy with a hide, even if they're not going to tan it this small. When it comes to dying, nobody will. Therefore, the shear is different. Da'arei zar'one gina. What about seeds? The mekame dezarinhu. Before you plant it, before you sow it, Tanan, we learned, what's the shear for carrying out seeds? Zarine gina, the shear of a seed, carrying out seeds, pachos miki grogris, is less than a grogris. Chamisha, the shear is 5 seeds. V'ilu basa dezarinhu, but after you sow it already, what does that mean? That means you sowed it, then I pulled it out of the ground? I think that's what it means. What else could it mean? Basu dezarinu. Tanan, we learned. Zevel's fertilizer. V'chol hadak. Or sand. Kedei lezabel. Bo kelach shel kruv. The shear is the amount it takes to fertilize one stalk of kruv, of cabbage. Div Rabbi Akiva. V'chachal momrim. Kedei lezabel krisha. To fertilize one piece of leek. Anyway, what do you see from here? After it's sown, the shear goes down, becomes smaller. Again, after you sow it, meaning after it's processed, the shear goes down. Just like by the dyes. The unprocessed was bigger shear. No, by dyes, not true? No, over there it was different. The shear was bigger. The point is, it's not the same shear. Here, the processed seed is smaller. So too, by the hides, the shear should be different. And we give the same answer. Ha'itmar Allah, Amar of Papa, Ha de Zaria, Ha de Lo Zaria. There's a big difference if it was fertilized already, if it was used already, and if it was sown already, and if it was not sown already. Nobody carries out, nobody busy. What are you doing today? Oh, I'm planting one seed. Nobody does that. Therefore, before the sowing, the shear has to be bigger. Because otherwise nobody does that. When it comes to hides, people do carry a hide this size. Therefore, the shears are safe. After it was sown, they picked it up off out of the ground. I don't know what that means either. What does that mean?
Why is that a different shear then? It's the same thing. Who's gonna bother?
Because it's already better. It's closer to being used. I don't know. Again, say it now. The same question again. Baritit. What about clay, dirt? The mekame delegavle. Before you knead it and you work on it. Tanya, we learned modeh chacham le Shimon. The shear that the chacham were modeh the motzi shofchin le rishus harabim. That dirty water that you throw out into the streets. Shishur bervias. And that the shear is a revius. What do you do with dirty water? What do you do with that? We said, well, I'm a revirmia. That's it. You're not going to drink that water. You're not going to use it to bathe the kids. So what do you do with that? What you do is you use it to busy with the clay. Soften up the clay. After you already soften up the clay, Tanya, we learned, tit, what's the shear for carrying out clay? The lasos be core. The amount is to cover the cover of a bellows. You know those things that they have in the cartoons? That's the only place you ever see them is in a cartoon. Where you it's like an accordion type of thing to fan the fire, right? So the amount is to cover it up. So what do you see? Again, unprocessed and processed, the shear is different. And that can be high, the shear is the same. So you Hasanami Kidamaran, same answer. Nobody's gonna be. What are you doing today? Oh, I'm making clay to cover up the hole of a bellows. Nobody does that. The shear is so small. Therefore, it has no chashivas. Therefore, the shear is different. But as opposed to the hide, the shear is the same. Okay.
So you would work a hide, but
correct. Thing? Correct. That's exactly the point. Why? It's exactly because you can make a kameh out of it. Tashma. There are three different stages of leather, of making leather. Matzah, chifa, v'diftara. Right? These are the three names. What about cloth? It's another name. What about gvil? Another name. On a base, I have all these names of different hides. So you'll see what on a base will talk about it. Anyway, matzah kimashmo. It's called matzah. You know what matzah is? Matzah is nothing. Right? Matzah is flour and water. It's the most basic food. There's no additives. Right? Just like this hide. Delo maliach, the hide was not salted, the leather was not salted. Delo kamiach, they didn't add any, they used to add kemach, flour, to give it some life. None of that. Lo afitz, no gall, to give it also life. The kamashiuro, what's the shear? Tani Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Huda, kedei latzer bo mishkalos katana. The shear is to cover a small weight. The kama, how much is that? What kind of small weight? Omar Abaya. Riva de riva de pumpadisa. A quarter of the weight of pumpadisa. That's the shear. Chifa, that's the next level of hide. De maliach, salted. Below kamiach, but there's no flour. Below afit, and there's no gold in there either. Fakamish yuran, what's the shear? Kidatan, or ha leather. Kidilasos kimea. That's the shear for a kimea. Right away you see the kasha. The kasha is a different shear. That's the kasha. Diftera, the third one, diftera. The meliach, it's salted. The kamiach, and they put on this kamiach flour. Velo afit, but they didn't put any gall on it. The kamish shear, what's the shear? Kedilich to love is a get, to write a get. Not a whole long megillah, the get, not a whole 12 long get. Rashi says, you just have to write, me, husband, is hereby divorcing you, wife. Very simple, one liner, that's it. Everything, right? So what do you see? You see from here, they don't have the same shear. But exactly the point. We just got to saying that when it comes to hides, unprocessed and processed, the same thing. Now you see it's not true. See it's not true. So the Gemara is going to answer, Hasam, over there, we're talking about Bibishula, where it's wet hide. You can't, wet hide's a whole different thing. We were talking about non-wet hides, right? When did we say that they have the same shear when they're not wet? But when they're wet, we're talking about, of course, the shear is different. Right. Votnan, but we learned again, the habeged, we learned something like this, habeged, the size of a beged to become tame is shlosha al shlosha, 3x3. L'midras, to be chayev, I'm sorry, for tumas midras, hasak, if it's some kind of sack, dalet al dalet, it has to be at least 4x4. Or, leather, hey al hey, 5x5. Mafit, vav al vav, 6x6. The kasha is, that the shear that we have to make a Kamehameha is not 5x5. It's not 5x5. So the shears don't match up. We just said that unprocessed hide and processed hide, the same shear. What's the shear? To make a Kamehameha. Now there's a braisa that says that the shear for Tumah is 5x5. That's not, now we assume it's the same shear for carry. That's when it's considered kasha. Less than that's nothing. A shear for making Kamehameha is not 5x5. So it's a kasha. Bein lemidras, bein lemeis. Tanya Allah, Bagad Vasak, Va'ar, Kashil, Tumah, Kaikh, Le'irs, L'shir Hotza. It's the same shear. And we know that the shear for a Kamehameha is not 5x5. So the Gemara answers, Hahu. When we said it's 5x5, that's a different kind of hide altogether. That's Bikur Tuvla. That's where it's scalding hot. And since it's scalding hot, that's a whole different parsha. It's a whole different animal. And then the shear is 5x5. The normal hide that we're talking about, the shear is the amount to make a Kamehameha. Okay? Good? Next. If you were confused before, wait till you see this daf. Klaf. What about klaf? Klaf is kedei lichtov alav parsha katana. The amount it takes to write a small parsha. What's a small parsha? Parsha Shema. Parsha Shema has 6 psukim. Right? Now.
What do you mean the parsha?
The first parsha Shema. From Shema to Visharecha. What appears in your Shema, right? Tefillin have 4 parshas. One of them is called parsha Shema. Okay? Now, when you can take an animal and you take the skin off the animal, what they used to do is, that entire skin is called gvil. Okay? That's called gvil. What they used to do is, they would split it in two. The top part is called klaf, meaning the one that's exposed to the hair. If you split the hide in two, you split the gvil in two, there are 4 places you could write. On the outer one, top and bottom, and on the inner one, top and bottom. Right? So the outer one is called klaf. The inner one is called duchsustus. Okay?
Yes, yeah, 5 times.
Okay? So here we go. Now, klaf, the shear for klaf, is the amount it takes to write a small parsha, which is shema.
Usually you write in the inner part of the klaf,
right? So one second, I wrote it down over here. No, the writing has to be where they meet. So if you're writing on klaf, it's on the inner part. If you're writing on duchsustus, it's on the outer part. Okay? What if you reverse it? We're going to get to that. Now, okay. Viruminhu. Wait a minute. Klaf, viduchsustus, klaf and duchsustus, the shear is, kidelichtav alav mezuzah. The shear is to write a mezuzah. A mezuzah has 2 parshas, Shema and Vahayim Shema. Now, the Mishnah didn't say 1 word about duchsustus. So that could be true. But our Mishnah said that the shear for klaf is Shema. Now we see the shear for klaf is mezuzah, it's a kasha. Okay?
By the way, he said here, that word comes from the Aramaic and Greek words.
Right.
Sustus is the flesh, and duch is a place.
Right. I saw that here. Okay. So you hear the kasha? Our Mishnah said the klaf is a parsha, a shema. And here the Brisa said the klaf and duch sustus is a mezuzah. My mezuzah, yeah, what did this Brisa mean when it said mezuzah? It meant mezuzah shebet tefillin. It meant the mezuzah in the tefillin, meaning the parsha of Shema. What kind of thing is that? So correlate tefillin mezuzah. You call tefillin a mezuzah? You do. The Vatanya, because you have a brayse that says like this: Ritzuos tefillin, the straps of tefillin, imat tefillin, if they're on the tefillin, metamos hasayadayim. They make the hands tamei, right? Because he wanted you to keep the truma. So it makes your hands tamei. If ne atman, but if you have straps lying around, not connected to a tefillin. They do not make your hands tummy. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rav Shimon, Hanogea beritzua tahar, even if it's attached, it's still tahar, ad sheyagia bekitzitza, until you touch the box. Okay? Rav Zakkai Mishmo Omer, Rav Zakkai says, tahar ad sheyagia bemezuzah atzma. No, it's tahar until you touch the cloth itself. So what do you see? That there's a place in a braisa where they call the tefillin by the word mezuzah. So too over here, when the Braith has said that the shear for carrying a mezuzah is the shear for carrying cloth is the shear to write a mezuzah, it's not a stira, because it means the parish of Shema, and we find a place where it says like that. Okay? Where am I? 1 minute. V'hadiktani, midiktani seifa, but we say in the seifa of that braisa, that cloth, what's the shear for cloth? K'delichtav alav parasha katana shebet tefillin, shehi Shema Yisrael. Michlal, debresha, mezuzah atzma askinan. Right? In other words, how could you in other words, the braisa starts off like this. Cloth viduchsustus. What's the shear for cloth and duchsustus? The shear is to write a mezuzah. What does that mean? He said it means tefillin. But then the next part of the braisa said cloth. What's the shear for cloth? Could you look at the below parashat ketana shebet tefillin? How could that mean? What's going on here? So the Gemara says the ratio must be talking about a mezuzah itself. So a mezuzah, the shear is cloth for duchsustus, a mezuzah. For tefillin, the cloth is only shema. That's what it must mean. So the Gemara says, no, hachik tani. Cloth and duchsustus and shear bekama. What's the story with cloth? And what's the story with duchsustus? So, duchsustus, the shear for duchsustus is kedei lichtav alav mezuzah. To write a mezuzah. As Rashi says, ad duchsustus koi. Delo chazi l'tefillin. Because you're not allowed to write tefillin on duchsustus anyway. So the word cloth meant, I'm sorry, the word duchsustus meant a mezuzah. So there's a difference now between carrying out duchsustus and carrying out cloth. The shear for duchsustus is a mezuzah, and the shear for cloth is shema. Right, Rashi says, ad duchsustus ay delo chazi l'tefillin. V'seifa pirish cloth, k'dei lichta parasha k'tana shebet tefillin. Cloth, what's the shear for cloth? K'dei lichtav alav parasha ketana shebet tefillin, shehi Shema Yisrael. Okay? So what do we get out of this so far? That you're not allowed to write tefillin on duchsustus. You're not allowed to. A mezuzah you can, not tefillin. Amar Rav. Now Rav comes along and says the following. Duchsustus, harehi kiklath. They're both exactly the same. Ma cloth kofit alav tefillin, ach duchsustus kofit alav tefillin. Just like you can write tefillin on cloth, you can write it on duchsustus also. We just got through saying that you can't do that. So, wait a minute. Tanan, cloth, kedelichtav alav parasha ketana shebet tefillin, shehi Shema Yisrael. Cloth in, duchsustus low. Can't do that. You, as Rashi says, have a shi'ur zuta kihai, ela bechdelichtav beis parashios, de mezuzah. Yeah, duchsustus chazil tefillin have a shiur kashir zuta debechavet tefillin. What Rashi just said was, if they both have the same shiur, if cloth and duchsustus have the same permissibility for writing tefillin, then why is the shiur for duchsustus different than cloth? Why is duchsustus the shiur for writing mezuzah, and cloth is the shiur to write tefillin? If tefillin can be written on duchsustus also, it should be the same shear. But the kasha on you, Rav, it's not true. You're not allowed to write tefillin on duchsustus, which is why the shear is different. The kasha on him. So the Gemara answers, listen to this answer. Limitzvah. What does it mean, limitzvah? Says Rashi, really, you're allowed to write tefillin on duchsustus. But it's only a bidiyevet. It's only a bidiyevet. Rashi says, limitzvah min amuvchar klaf bu'inan. Really, the best thing is to write tefillin on cloth. Ustama, listen to this Rashi. Listen to this Musa Rashi. It's mistama. The kol inish mitzvah ma'al yisa of it. People do a mitzvah in the best way possible. Therefore, when you walk in, when your son's 12 and a half years old, and you got to get tefillin, what are you going to get him? Duchsustus? That's such a bidiyeved. It's so much a bidiyeved that no one even does it. Now, it's kosher? Yes, it's kosher. But it's such a bidiyeved, no one even does it. Therefore, hilkach, lo mitzna duchsustus with tefillin. We don't even associate duchsustus with tefillin. Nobody does that. V'havale ein matzdin kabo. It's as if it's not even on the par. It's not even in the ballpark. Is it kosher? Yes. But no. But it's not. It's not. It's not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah of mufchar. It's not hiddur. Since it's not hinder, no one does. Since no one does it, we don't even cheshbon that it's part of the world of tefillin. Is it part of the world of tefillin? Yes, it is. We don't even cheshbon that. So you want to know what the shear is for carrying out klaf? Only tefillin. Only parshas Rishona. Yeah, but no one does that. Therefore, it's not even counted. Okay? Tashma, wait a minute. Halacha l'moshe misinai. Halacha l'moshe misinai is tefillin ala klaf. The mezuzah al duchsustos, tefillin on cloth and mezuzah on duchsustos. Cloth b'makom basar. If you write a cloth in the wrong cloth makom basar, what's cloth makom basar?
In the cloth you write
cloth
towards the basar.
What?
In the duchsustos you are.
But you always write the cloth on the basar part.
Right, but the duchsustos in
there. That's the bad. Yeah. Oh, duchsustos b'makom seir, and you write duchsustos.
The outer part of the duchsustos.
It's two sides.
But you always write on that part.
Two sides of the hair.
Right.
Of the arc.
But I said, I said you write where they meet.
Yes.
The outer.
So now you're writing, where are you writing the duchsustos?
On the outer.
On the outer
side.
Be supposed to write on the outer.
And then the clock is on the inner.
Huh?
The clock is on the inner side.
Right. So what we're doing... Oh, tefillah on cloth with those. Cloth makom besser, or tefillah makom seir?
Yeah.
So what's the kasha?
The fact that we're saying the tefillah can only be on.
Correct. The tefillah, it's kind of, well, it's not kind of driving the place where you wrote it. It's the duchsustos part is constricting him. And the answer is l'mitzvah. Same answer. Yes. Min adin, mikra adin. Can you write tefillah on duchsustos? Yes, you can. But Rav wasn't talking about that, because Rav, but mitzvah and amufcher, nobody does it. Okay? Votanya, Shina, if you reverse, initially this means you reverse where you're writing the klaf and the duchsustos, you write them on the wrong sides, puzzle. That's puzzle. Right? Now, if it's puzzle, then how could Rav say it's only a mitzvah? That can't be right. Right? If it's puzzle, it's puzzle. So the Gemara answers no. That means a mezuzah. We're only talking about the mezuzah, right? That you wrote it on the wrong side. But of course, if you write tefillin on the duchsustos, it will be kosher. So, d'tanya, shina bazeh u bazeh, pasul. If you change this and that, it's pasul. Aidi va'aidi, a mezuzah. What's this and that? My first answer would have been this and that means this tefillin and that mezuzah. That can't be right. Because if you write tefillin on duchsustos, it's kosher. So what does it mean, this and that? It's both mezuzah. V'ha dechazvinu aklaf makom seir. Either you wrote the klaf
on the outside.
Inami ak duchsustos makom basar. And you wrote the duchsustos on the inside. That's what it means, it's pasul. You switch to both mezuzah and klaf. You switched mezuzah on the cloth of the duchsustos, you are in the wrong space. Iba yisema, shina bazeh u bazeh, or a different pshat. Tanoi, it's a machlokas tanoim actually. The tanya, shina bazeh u bazeh pasul. If you switch this and that, it's pasul. Rav Acha machshir, Rav Acha says, not a problem. Mishom Rav Acha, Rav Chanina, Rav Amulei, Mishom Rav Yaakov, Rav Chanina, Rav Papa Amar, Rav de Amar Ketana de Be Menashe. Rav can hold like this tana. The tana de Be Menashe, Kasva Alan Yor. If you wrote it on paper, ala matlis, on some kind of rag, psula, that's puzzle. Ala klaf, if you wrote it on klaf, ala gvil, now we throw in the word gvil. Gvil is the part of the hide that you don't split it in half. The duchsustos and the klaf together is called gvil. Al duchsustos, on duchsustos, kshira. That's all kosher. Now, kosher for mine, what'd you write? Ilim mezuzah, if it's on mezuzah, mezuzah aklaf ni kasvina. You write mezuzah on cloth? Says Rashi. It must be that you don't do that. Even though the Rambam holds you can. They all say the Rambam must have had some source because the Gemara says you write cloth on a mezuzah on cloth. Elav tefillin. It must have been talking about tefillin. And what do you see from here? The tefillin on duchsustos is kosher. And Rav must have held like him. Ul taimecha tefillin agvil mikasvina? Can you write tefillin on gvil? You can't do that. Again, There must be a Tana or an Amora that you can't do that. Ela kitanya hi b'sefer Torah. No, that was a, on, that's the Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah you could write on Gvil. And therefore, it's not a proof that Rav is known to rely on. Levi Mesayle. Kiyotzi Bo. So we have like this. The halacha is, you're not allowed to switch Tefillin Shal Yad to Tefillin Shal Rosh. Why not? I can't switch Tefillin to Tefillin Shal Rosh. Why not? So believe it or not, the answer is, because let's say a guy is Tefillin Shal Yad, and he wants to make it Tefillin Shal Rosh. That's what you're allowed to do, because you're going up in Kedusha. What about the other way around? To go from Tefillin Shal Rosh to Tefillin Shal Yad, that you're not allowed to do. Why? Because we know that the wearing the Tefillin comprises the letter Shin Dalad Yud. The Shin's on the Shin of the Rosh, the Dalad's the knot in the back, and the Yud is the knot on the Tefillin Shal Yad. So two out of the three letters are in the Rosh. So what do you see? The Rosh is better than the Yad. More Kadosh. So we have a rule of Malan V'Kodesh V'Ein Moridin. So you can't go down from the Rosh down to the Yad. To go up, you can. So Kiyotzebo, similarly, Tefillin Shabalu, let's say Tefillin get worn out, Sefer Torah Shabalu, or Sefer Torah got worn out, so Ein also Mehem Mezuzah. You can't go down to Mezuzah. Why? L'fisha Ein Moridin Mekedusha Chamur L'Kedusha Kala. Taima, the whole reason why you're not allowed to do this is the Ein Moridin. You don't go down. Ha Moridin, but if you could go down, Osin, it wouldn't be an issue. Now, Ksiva Demai, what'd you write it on? Elam lav the Ksiva Aduch. Isn't it that you wrote on the Chzustas? Why? Because if you wrote it on cloth, you can't write a mezuzah anyway on cloth, we said. Right? Anyway, what do you see from here? That writing it on the Chzustas is completely appropriate. The Gemara says, no, lo, dichsiva ala klaf. No, you wrote it on klaf. So the Gemara says, mezuzah klaf mi kosvinan? Can you do that even? In, you can do it. Vatanya, kosval al klaf. If you wrote it on klaf, al niyar al matlet psula, amar b'shurim ben alazar, remeir haya kosval ala klaf, remeir used to write it on klaf, mipnei she mishtameres. Because it was the best, it's the best material. It keeps it the strongest. Keeps it the most guarded, meaning it doesn't erase, doesn't get rubbed out. It's the best one for the cloth. So the hashad us is lahachi. Now that we said that, l'rav nami lo tema duchsusus areyu kaklaf ela'ema. So now we can say like this. Rav never said that duchsusus is like cloth. Rather, ela'ema cloth hareyu kaduchsusus. Just all the way around. Ma duchsusus kosin alav mitzuzah as cloth kosin alav mitzuzah. Okay. So just you should know. I don't think they. I once saw duchsustus. It looks like cloth. It's 1,000 years old. All brown. They don't use it for it. You could. So the bottom line is that a mezuzah and a sefer Torah can be written as long as it's on the proper side. You can write it on either one. That's the bottom line. In other words, you can write it on duchsustus or on cloth as long as it's on the right side, meaning where they meet. Tefillin can only be written on cloth, we paskin, and only on the only on the right side, on the inner side.
Don't we just do everything on cloth?
Yeah. Today we do everything on cloth. Yeah, everything. But if you wanted to, I saw once in Megillus Esther, which doesn't have any halachas anyway, written on duchsustos. It looked so funny. Yeah, the guy comes to the shul on Purim with that thing, and everyone's looking at him, right? That's what people do. But exactly, shtick, new shtick. All right, we'll stop here, and we'll pick up tomorrow. Everybody have a very good day and a good Shabbos. Yeah.